You remember when you were in school and the teacher would ask a question and you would want to raise your hand, but you were afraid to raise your hand because it might be the wrong thing? How many can remember that? See, some of you are afraid right now to raise your hand. You're afraid I might call on you or something. Let me tell you something. I have learned this from experience. Failure is not fatal. It is never fatal. In fact, the fear of failure is far worse than fear itself. Failure is actually a good thing. It is a good thing. Because failure is how you learn what doesn't work.
Thanks for joining us today here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Do you ever find yourself surviving but not thriving? That's because we usually take care of our physical necessities, but it's so easy to neglect our spiritual and emotional needs. As we continue this series, Essentials for Living, Pastor Rick is going to give you the insight and the tools you need to live a balanced life where you'll thrive and not just survive. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource you can take with you wherever you go. It will provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's message. Again, text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Invest Your Life.
The internet is making millionaires of a lot of people very fast. If you had invested in a company called hotjobs.com just 3 months ago, in 3 months you would have made a 217% return on your investment. In 3 months. I bet you don't make that in your passbook account, do you? If you had invested just 3 months ago in a company called Net2Phone, you would have seen your investment grow by 247% in one quarter. If 3 months ago you had invested in a company called Red Hat Incorporated, which is the Linux software operating system, your investment would have grown an astounding, in just 3 months, 585%. And if you had invested just 3 months ago in a company called Internet Capital Group, your return on investment would have been an astounding 632%. Some of you are saying, I got the wrong broker. But today I don't want to talk to you about financial investments. I want to talk to you about something far more important than that. And that's your life. You can do three things with your life. You can waste your life, and of course there are many ways to do that. You can spend your life, and the advertisers will give you many ways to do that. Or you can invest your life. And to invest your life means to use it in a way that outlasts it. To make a difference for eternity. To leave a legacy. Now the Bible is very clear that you were created to make a contribution. You were not put on this earth just to be a consumer. You were put on this earth to be a contributor. And that contribution that you make with your life, with your talents, with your abilities, the Bible calls your ministry. Now, we often think ministers is what pastors do, but ministry is for every person. When you take your talents, your abilities, and whatever you're good at, and you use it to help other people unselfishly, God says that contribution of your life is called your ministry. Now, Jesus says that one day we're going to give an account for how we lived our lives and how we invested our lives. He tells us a story on how to prepare for the final exam of life when God evaluates how well you invested your life. And today I want from this story to draw seven principles of life investment. And so write these down. The first principle is the principle of ownership. And it's called, it says this, everything I have really belongs to God. That's the first principle. Everything I have really belongs to God. God made it all and God owns it all. It was here before you got here. It's going to be here after you leave this earth. Now, a lot of times we think that we own our things, but you really don't own anything. God owns it all. You just get to borrow it. For 60 years, 70 years, 80, maybe 90 years, and then you return it. You brought nothing into this world when you were born. You're taking nothing out of this world when you leave it. So everything you have, cars, loans, ambitions, homes, everything you've got, is really just on loan to you for the time that you are alive. Now, the Bible tells us that God made human beings to manage his resources on earth. You want to know why human beings are here? We're here to manage the environment, to manage the earth. And the nice thing about it is while we are managing it, we get to use it. We get to benefit from it. But we must never forget that we don't own it. Let's say you had a beach house, and one day you came and said, Rick, I'm going on vacation for 3 months. I'd like to let you use my beach house. It has a beautiful view of the ocean, and I'd like somebody to kind of take care of it while I'm gone. And I said, great. And they say, while I'm gone, Rick, I would like for you to do three things. I'd like for you to water the plants. I'd like for you to feed the puppy. And I'd like for you to pick up the mail. Just kind of manage the house while I'm gone. But you can use it while I'm gone. I say, great. So you go away for 3 months. You come back later, 3 months time, and you're ready to move back in, and I'm not ready to move out. And they say, well, we're ready to move. I said, oh, no, I happen to like my bed now. Notice I said, my bed. And I happen to park the car in my garage, and I like the view from my living room window. Now, it would be quite presumptuous for me to act like an owner when you had just loaned it to me. But we do this all the time with everything we've got. We act like it's my career. It's my family. It's my assets. It's my home. It's my car, and on, when really it all belongs to God. It's just on loan to you while you are alive. Now, Jesus made this principle in verse 14 of Matthew 25. He tells the story. And he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey, this master, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them while he was gone. Now notice the word his property. Circle the word his, because it's not the servants, it's the master's. Now listen, if you learn to accept this fact, this truth of life, that really everything you have belongs to God, not you, you're going to worry a whole lot less. Your worry will rapidly be reduced. Why? Because you don't worry about things that aren't yours.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How to Invest Your Life from our series called Essentials for Living. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, so you can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to rickwarren.org right now, or call 800-600-5004. You can also text the word daily to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Think about this. When you get a ding in your car, you worry about it. Do you worry about the ding in your neighbor's car? No. When somebody else is having problems and their clothes don't fit, you don't worry about that. You just worry about your clothes that don't fit. Okay? And so if you realize, hey, this is all God's anyway, he gave it to me, he can take it back, in fact, he could replace it just like that, then you worry a whole lot less because you're not trying to preserve what you've got. Principle number two is the principle of allocation, and that is that God has given me some unique talents. God has given me some unique talents. In fact, the word talent from the English language comes from this Bible story. Now, in the Bible, a talent was an amount of money. Specifically, it was about $1,000. And this master has doled out multiple talents to different people, a sizable investment in those days. Today, a talent simply means the natural abilities and gifts that God has given to me. Now, some of you have musical talents, some of you have mathematical talents, some of you have mechanical talents, some of you have business talents, some of you have leadership talents, some of you are good with working with animals, some of you are good at writing, or you're good at speaking, or you're good at cooking, or in fact, scientists have discovered there are anywhere between 600 and 800 different talents. You probably have at least 200 different talents. But the problem is you don't recognize them because they come natural to you. But they are not natural to others. Some of you people can naturally organize things. That's a talent. Some of you don't have that talent. Okay? You're very unorganized. Some of you know how to make things neat real quickly. And others, it would take you all day to make a room neat. You don't have that talent. And so you don't realize many times the talents that you have. Now in verse 15 it says, to one he, this represents God, gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now I want you to notice 2 things. First, the amount differs with each individual. Somebody gets 1 talent, somebody gets 2 talents, somebody gets 5. We have been taught all of our lives that all men are created equal. That is not true. We are created equal in our value to God and in our worth as human beings. But we are not equal in our talents. And we are certainly not equal in our opportunities and freedoms. By the very nature of the fact that you live in America, you are miles ahead of the rest of the world. You were given some privileges, some abilities, some freedoms, and some opportunities that the rest of the world simply does not have. And most of the world would die to have the opportunity you have. So you got a leg up on civilization. You didn't ask for that. You didn't deserve it. You certainly didn't earn it. It was simply a gift of God. It was an ability that God gave you. And everybody gets something, but our talents differ. Some of you are 1 talent people. Some of you are 5. Some are 10, 20, whatever. But I want you to notice, everybody gets something. There are no talent people. You say, well, I don't have any talents. Oh, yes, you do. You just haven't uncovered them yet. Now, in Romans 12:6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Circle the word grace. A talent is something you don't deserve. So you can't brag about it because you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You might develop it, but it was simply a gift of God's grace. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
The third principle, the principle of accountability, is that God expects me to use my talents. He gave them to me, gave them to us for a purpose. He wants us to make the most of the abilities that he's given into our lives. Have you thought about it this way? It's as if God looked at your life, looked at my life, and decided, I'm going to make an investment in them. Just like you would look for a financial investment and think, you know what? Here's something that's worth investing my hard-earned money in. He looked at you and said, you are a person that it's worth investing in. But when you make an investment, then what do? You sit back and excitedly watch for the return on that investment. And God does the same thing in our lives. He invests in our lives and then watches for what happens. This verse isn't in your outline, but you might write down the reference, Romans 14:12. Romans 14:12 says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Listen. Every day we get to choose how we're going to live our lives. Every one of us. We get to make that choice. But there will come a day in all of our lives where we explain to God the choices we've made about how we live our lives. Jesus reminded us in this story. See that verse in your outline in verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts. Someday, we're going to be audited by God, an audit of how you lived your life. Now, if you think you're nervous about an audit with the IRS, how about an audit with the G-O-D? I mean, that is a scary kind of audit to think about. And yet, the job of our church, the job of any church, is to get you ready for that final exam of life that Rick talked about earlier. Now, when you have a final exam, isn't it nice to know the question in advance? I want to give you the question in advance. Once you've settled the question of your relationship with Christ, which is the most important question in life, that you've trusted Him with your life, then the final exam question, you might write it in with me, is, God will ask me, what did you do with what you were given? And our goal is to prepare you to answer that question so that you can stand before God and say, I used my talents. I used them in a way that helped others. I used them in a way that made an impact on the world. That's principle number four. One of the reasons we don't use our talents is the principle of utilization in the back of your outline. That it is wrong for me to bury what God gave me. To take what God has given and not use it for Him. You notice in this story, the first person doubled his talents, what he was given. The second person doubled their talents. But the third man buried his talents. He just took them and hid them. He was cautious. He was conservative. He said, I'm going to play it safe. He was the nothing ventured, nothing gained kind of a person. He just sat on it. And the master's reaction, we read it earlier, he said, you wicked, lazy servant. Do you think he was a little upset with him? He looks at this servant and he says, you are wicked. You should have at least put it in the bank and we could have gotten the interest. Most of us, when we hear the word wicked, I think, murder or rape or abuse. But look at what God calls wicked in this story. He says it is wicked to not use the talent that you were given to make a difference in this world. To never make a contribution. To bury it. To put it out of sight and pretend it's not there. There's a couple of insights in this part of the passage. First of all, you can't please God by playing it safe. To use your talent, you have to risk. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. And to take my talent and do nothing with it, unafraid to risk it in any way, is inexcusable. And then the second insight is, God would rather have you try to serve Him, make an attempt at least, and fail, and fall flat on your face than do nothing at all. He calls this servant wicked, not because he lost the money, but because he was afraid to do anything at all with the money. Some of you, you look at your life and you have no joy in life day to day. There's no spark. There's not that enthusiasm that you would really like to have there. Why? One of the reasons that happens to our lives is we start to play it safe. We start to sit on the sidelines of life. We become spectators, afraid to contribute. Not using our talents the way that God intended, living for ourselves, not involved in service to others. And the truth of the matter is, we're bored with life. It's time to get back into the game. It's time to move into ministry. Why is it that sometimes we find ourselves sitting on the sidelines? That's the fifth principle.
And that principle is the principle of motivation. And it goes like this. It is fear that keeps me from using my talent. Fear that keeps me from using my talent. In verse 25, the man who buried his talent said, I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. Circle the word afraid and circle the word hid and draw a line between them because they always go together. What keeps you from developing your full potential? Fear. What keeps you from becoming all God wants you to be? Fear. What keeps you from building your life a legacy that would last for eternity? Fear. Now, there are three kinds of fears that will keep you from developing your talents. You need to write these down. The first one is self-doubt. Self-doubt is a fear that keeps most people locked in a prison and keeps them from developing their potential. You say, well, I could never do that. I'm just not qualified. You have all these doubts about your talents. And honestly, what it is, it's the fear of failure. I'm afraid that if I try to use my talent, I'll fail and then I'll be embarrassed. Do you remember when you were in school and the teacher would ask a question and you would want to raise your hand, but you were afraid to raise your hand because it might be the wrong thing? How many can remember that? See, some of you are afraid right now to raise your hand. So you're afraid I might call on you or something. Let me tell you something. I have learned this from experience. Failure is not fatal. It is never fatal. In fact, the fear of failure is far worse than fear itself. Fear of failure limits you. Failure is actually a good thing. It is a good thing. Because failure is how you learn what doesn't work. The only way you're ever going to become a success in life is through failure. By failing, you find out what doesn't work. I have failed thousands and thousands of times, and so have you. And that's how you learn. That's how you grow. It is an education. I tell my staff all the time, I want every staff member at Saddleback Church making at least one major failure a week. Because if you're not failing, you're not trying anything new. And if you're not trying anything new, you're not growing. Now, I don't want them making the same failure every week. That is a no-no. That means they're not learning. They're not growing. But the only way you grow is through failure. So I am, right now, as your pastor, telling you, this week I want you to go out and fail. All right? Fail as a parent. Fail as a partner. Fail as a professional. Why? Because the next week you'll be a better parent. You'll be a better partner. You'll be a better professional. It's by learning through the failure. So don't let self-doubt keep you. I'd rather attempt to do something great and fail than attempt to do nothing and succeed. Number two is self-consciousness. That's the second fear. And the self-consciousness comes up when, let's say you're good at dancing, but you become self-conscious about it. Or you're good at singing, but you become self-conscious about it. And really behind that fear is worrying, what will other people think? Now, if you worry about what other people think in life, you may as well go ahead and dig your grave right now, get in it, and cover up. Because you're already dead. Because you're going to learn real soon in life that you can't please everybody. Is that true? And so, you can't worry about what other people think. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man is a snare. It is a trap. It's what keeps you from developing, because you worry, what will other people think? The moment you put out your shingle, somebody's going to throw rocks at it. The moment you attempt anything in life, somebody's going to criticize it. Every time we've done anything great here at this church, there have always been critics. Always. When we decided to buy this land, there were people saying, who do you think you are? Church buying, 120 acres. And there were critics of that. And then when we decided to build a tent and put up a tent, they say, why are you spending money on a tent? And people were critical of that. And then when we decided to build this building, they said, we should stay in the tent. We shouldn't, we shouldn't move into this building. And, now we're building the ministry center. I actually heard somebody the other day say, why are we putting up all these beautiful trees? You know what? If you worry about what other people think, nothing will ever get done in your life. You just have to do what God tells you to do, and that's all you're accountable for. You are not accountable to please everybody else. That is not your goal in life. Your goal is to do what God tells you to do. So don't get self-conscious about it.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. If you've ever asked, how can I cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind? Let me tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. To get your copy, go to rickwarren.org right now. That's rickwarren.org or call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. You can also text the word DAILY to 313131. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Google Plus or Instagram. By the way, I'm on all of these, and you can follow me on any of these. Let me know what you think of this broadcast. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website. That's www.rickwarren.org. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.